Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 49 and Ezekiel 22 to start with. I want to read one verse in Genesis, a few verses in Ezekiel, and give you our topic, celebrating God's goodness, thanking God for our media camp. I'm going to show you a video in the midst of my message. Actually, I want to incorporate the media camp with the message today. Genesis 49, Joseph, a man, a father. It says that, verse 22, Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful tree by a well. His branches run over the wall. That verse, that part of the verse, got my attention today to encourage us men and all of us here that fruitfulness is our assignment. Fruitfulness is our destiny. Say, I am a fruitful tree, planted by a well. And the thought there is, there's a source there. You're planted beside a source, and the source draws up the water, the life, the strength that you need. And his branches run over the wall, just flourishing. Ezekiel 22. This starts out pretty bad, but it provides a solution. Well, God's always a God of solutions. Amen? We always say that complaining is pretty easy, but it takes, I think, more to have an answer. But it says here in verse 23 of Ezekiel 22, again, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There's a conspiracy in her princes, of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures of precious things. They make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between holy and common. They teach that there is no difference between unclean and clean. They shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath. I am profaned among them. Verse 27. Her officials, her leaders, her politicians, her presidents, whoever, within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them with false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign God says when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice, etc., etc. Pretty bad news. And yet after the prophet spoke these words of God, the next verse says, verse 30, I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. So when God described all these bad conditions, he then said, I look for a man among them to build up this wall, to stand in the gap before me or in my behalf. He says, but I found no one. Now understand this, that God wasn't looking for males. He's looking for a man. There are lots of males, but we need men, right? Of course, males are men, but the idea was that man is the identity that one discovers, who one becomes. We're born male or female. But God says, I look for a man among them, a man among the males. Now, by the way, there's two words in the Hebrew for man. There is the word man that means mankind. There is that word. But the word here is the man by gender. The man, the male man. Not talking about everybody. Because the Bible does use the word man, again, to reflect everybody. But in this case, God looked for a man. Now, part of the reason he looked for a man is because God has used men, obviously, in different ways, but men are also responsible for a lot of the problems in the world. I can read some stats. I won't bother with it, But most guys who commit crimes, most terrorists are men. You know what I'm talking about. Most of these problems, men are doing it. Now, women are catching on. They're catching on. But it's guys who've done a lot of this bad. And the way God works is when God finds a problem, he'll use somebody in the midst of the problem to fix the problem. Now, this title today I've given is Mailmen, Men That Deliver. It's a catchy title, Mailmen. And that word came from two thoughts. There was a basketball player whom older folk would know named Karl Malone, old school player. But they called him the mailman because he delivered. And he did. Need that shot. Need that. He and who's the guy that he played with, the guard he played with, two of them? Stockton, Malone, yeah. Stockton would pass the ball, Malone would deliver the shot, make the play. I also thought about mailmen in terms of the Postal Service. Everybody say, thank God for the Postal Service.
Thank God for the Postal Service.
Yeah, come on, you put a letter in the mail, you pay like, what, 29 cents? 49 now? Oh, 29 is postcard. Postcard, 29. 49. 49 cents. The thing goes around the world, across the country, 49 cents. Now, come on now. Can't beat that. But the mailman, as they're called mail carriers now, but the mailman I grew up with, we understood that the mailman would bring your mail no matter what. Matter of fact, there is a motto that says, neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. And that was adopted by our Postal Service. Matter of fact, the phrase that I learned came from an ancient source. I learned that this phrase came from an ancient system of mounted postal couriers around 500 B.C. before Christ. The Persians operated a system of couriers who carried mail, who carried messages. But the statement was actually from their era, their time, and it describes the fidelity of the work they did. They were known. You want something done, they will get it delivered. They'll get your message out there. And they will not be deterred by conditions. And so the phrase mailman just came to me, some years ago, when I preached the message years ago, that's how we ought to see God as Father, first of all, but we should, as men, desire to be male men, men that deliver. Say, I'm a man that delivers. All of us say, I am a man or a woman that delivers. Yeah. We get it done. God created men to get things done. Say amen, guys. Say amen, young men. Say amen, Tavares. Young man. Get things done. And so when guys sit around doing nothing or doing harmful things, it's contrary to God's nature and plan for them. Now, again, we go back to the need that these problems in the world are caused largely by men, because men have not known God, have not embraced the nature of God for their lives, and when anything doesn't operate according to purpose, when there's not proper use of something, when there's abnormal use, there's a word for that called abuse. So when men abuse themselves by not doing God's will or acting ways that abuse others, that is far from God's plan, obviously. So then we want to encourage men, not just when they become grown, but as boys. Obviously, we all begin as, boys. We have to grow up and become men. And I remember I told you before that I remember the day in my mind, not the day date, but the day when I was in a school doing some work, working with a preschool, I think, and someone said, go ask that man over there. I'm like, what are you talking about? Looking at me like, ask that man. Where, I don't see no man. Oh, you mean me? I was 18 years old at the time. First time we caught, so, okay, all right. At some point, it has to dawn on guys that you're a man now. And we expect you to do things. Say amen, man. Amen. Earlier the better, really, okay? Amen. So then, that was my experience, my awakening in that moment. Seems kind of weird, but it was my awakening to being a man. And I began to embrace that. Now, I grew up with an example of a man in my life, my dad. And I hear about, you know, the problem with men and black men. I hear this all the time. Somebody said that 1 in 4 men are in jail or in some kind of trouble. Now, come on now. They just say something to get money, to do studies, to say we're all jacked up. All right, I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so 3 of y'all ought to be in jail or in trouble, legal trouble. See, they don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the stats. Now, I was raised up with a dad, a granddad. All around me were men. Now, I understand that I was fortunate in that way. I was blessed in that way. I understand that. But my experience has not been to not see men do what men should do. And taking care of the business, taking care of the family, loving wives. That's all I've seen in my family. And my uncle, my cousins, I mean, even my crazy uncle did good as a man. You know, he didn't abuse nobody. And so that's been my teachers. So I'm telling you, not all of us men and black men have that bad experience. Now, here's the thing. When you've had a good experience growing up as a man, as a boy and a man, you have a tendency to be very confident. You're confident. You're bold. It's the natural state of a man to be confident and bold and get things done. But then when sometimes we see a man who acts that way, we say, hey, he's arrogant. Well, there is some arrogance is a problem, but don't call confidence arrogance. In other words, don't look for a reason to run the man down. Don't bring up the stats. You should be this way. I'm not that way, all right? In my master's program, had a course on statistics, education course. Man, all these stats and then the educational teaching, learning I received, it was amazing how they always had statistics and metrics. I'm like, well, what's the sample? Who are you measuring? Because I'm telling you, you can't measure every group of people with the same measurement. And so I constantly challenged the assumptions and things I was told, read in the books. I said, who said that? Who they talk to? Who are they anyway? Talking to folks where? Where? What city? What state? Because I knew too much about, you know, godly good men like my dad to believe the hype. Now, I've seen guys who are off the rocker who, you know, who have trouble. I've seen all. We all see that. But we don't pay enough attention to what God is doing among those men who've decided to serve God and be good men. Right? And they're all over the place. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. These good men are everywhere. These great dads who work hard, take care. They're everywhere. All right? And so we have to then recognize that we're mailmen. We deliver. We get it done, not without failure, not without shortcoming. Come on now, not without hardship. I'm not saying we don't struggle and fall short. We all do. But that our purpose and destiny tends to always override all the negative factors. Y'all believe that? Amen. Now, I'm saying all this, it could sound overwhelming. Oh, Pastor, I got to do all that. Well, not by yourself. Everything God requires, He provides. Everything God requires, say it, everything God requires, He provides. So we can talk, you know, in large terms about what we expect men and boys to become. We can talk in very high expectations and talk very lofty because everything God requires, He provides. The pressure is on God. Your pressure is just to follow God. Follow Him. Go that way. Go this way. Pay attention to what's going on. And he'll make you a mailman. He'll make you a mailman. You know, God will just make, God will help you. Won't He help you? God won't just say, you got to do this, and then stand back and see if you can do it. He'll get in there with you and help you do it. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Now, let me share this with you. God said again to the prophet, through the prophet, I look for a man. I look for a man among them who would do two things. He said, one, to build up the wall. Now, he's talking, of course, in a spiritual term, because people today do not understand foundation. People today, a lot of people in our world don't listen to God, so they cannot know what God is saying. Therefore, it's up to us to be God's voice, God's hands, amen, to carry to them foundational understanding, scripture and common sense stuff. So then, my dad taught me a lot of common sense things. I mean, see, common sense is the will of God. Say common sense. It's the will of God. It's almost more important than spiritual, being spiritual. Now, listen, y'all. Of course, being spiritual in the right way is important. If you're actually doing it. See, listen, it's spiritual to pray. It's spiritual to talk about prayer and never pray. There's spiritual and there's spiritual. And spiritual people don't have common sense sometimes. Y'all all right now? All right. I look for a man to build up the wall. Second, to stand in the gap. Now, the gap is the distance from where things are to where things should be. So Brad asked me in the office, why did I begin a media camp? Well, story you know, I'll say it again. We began a camp in the year 2000 because a pastor friend and I were in a car going to lunch, coming from lunch, complaining about media, bad media, and its impact upon young people, MTV and all that back in the day, the music and all that. Complaining about videos, movies, and all that. Just complaining, fussing about it. And then the Lord said to me, all right, okay, Brian, what are you going to do about that? Because, you know, complaining is easy. And God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. So he loved me enough to interrupt me and say, okay, what you going to do about that? I mean, the car driving, I heard this in my heart. Well, I'll do a program. Told the pastor, I heard from God. Said, do a program. What kind of program? I'm not sure. Some kind of program. Now, I've been doing media for years. You know that. I've been in production way before camp began. And so it became clear, oh, okay, teach the kids what I do. Some of it. And so we applied to Little Endowment and got a grant in the first year. We applied. $5,000. That's a confirmation. Say amen, somebody?
Yeah.
Now, I was going to do it anyway, one way or another. So the point is how we begin. So then that was how God put me in the gap in one small way. Just one organization, one church, one guy, you know, getting in the gap and doing something about it. Now, that didn't change the whole landscape of bad media and the impact upon youth for the whole world, but it's changed a whole bunch of kids for 18 years. They won't be the same, amen? And their world will be influenced by them. So we ought to just recognize that don't look for the who's going to do this and where's the big plan. There's a plan, but just think about, Lord, what can I do in my space? In which gaps, Lord, will you want to insert me? Now, I'm talking to me, and of course all of us can receive this, but God said, I look for a man, because men are the cause of a lot of the bad producers of music. It's men, you know. Had a kid with a T-shirt on, had Biggie on it. And who's the guy? Who's that guy? Did he get shot? Is he dead too? One of them dead rappers? Is he dead? I think Biggie. Yeah. All right. So we had our portraits. He wore that shirt for the portrait. He didn't know we had portraits. So I got the thing in Photoshop. I took Biggie off of that thing. Biggie's gone off that shirt. Took it off. That's not right, Pastor. Is my camp Those are my pictures. I don't want Biggie on my website. The boy didn't know anything about Biggie. He's too young to know what Biggie was, you know, how he died. He just got the shirt from somebody. I took it off. Photoshop. Y'all all right with that? I don't care. Okay. My point is, this is one way. I'm obviously doing some stuff. You know, this is what I do. It's pretty obvious. What we do this is, he says, build the wall up, stand in the gap, before, on behalf of me, on behalf of the land. God says, do this for me to help your land, your city, your community, your family. So God, in that instance, said, I couldn't find anybody. Well, today, he got people today. He has people. He got all of us out here, all of us men, and we all have responsibility one way or another to stand in the gap, build up the wall. It may be very quiet. It may be nobody ever sees it. It won't be always a program, like I'm doing a program, citywide program, but it may be something that's very, you know, very small, but it's always significant. Small or big, doesn't matter. Bigger's not better. Small's not better. Better is better. Say that. Bigger's not better. Smaller's not better. Better is better. All right. Now, let me get some reasons why men don't deliver. Why men don't deliver. First of all is discouragement. Discouragement will sap the energy and the courage of anybody. And, of course, men obviously as well. Discouragement is like a disease, really. Because if it starts small and it grows, if it's not stopped, it spreads. And then what happens is discouragement can become bitterness. And that's, of course, very bad. It metastasizes into something much worse and affects other people. Hebrews says that root of bitterness can spring up and cause trouble, and by this, many are defiled. Many boys have been defiled by bitter men. Defiled in their thinking and their outlook on life. Some guys have grown up hating white people. Don't say that black folk can't be racist now. Black folk can't be racist. Now, the deal is, black racism don't have no effect. You being racist don't stop people from getting jobs or anything like that. It just hurts you. Now, white racism is different. They got power and prestige. They can lock you out of jobs, everything else. But it's still wrong to train a boy, don't trust white people. My point is that because of that man's personal pain growing up in real racist situations, being locked out, called names, then he passed it on to his son. Now, my dad may have gone through some stuff. I never knew about it. I'm sure he went through some stuff, racist. I never heard about that. My granddad had to endure that. My mom, I didn't hear about that. I mean, in other words, there was nothing about that. I knew it was there, but nothing made me not want to like my white friends I grew up with. Amen, somebody? I mean, I was actually raised in an interracial school. Well, for a while, it began that way. Then folk left, you know. It's just us. You know, when the justice is not there, it's just us. My upbringing was so good, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, I was blessed. Grew up in the hood. I didn't know it was the hood. I mean, I didn't know it wasn't like ghetto. There was stuff happening, but my thinking was shaped by my father. My father and my mom shaped my thinking. I wasn't messed up like that. Discouragement, number two, a lack of support or reliance. Men like to be needed and depended upon. They don't say it. We want to be needed. We want people to ask us things that we have answers to. We want to try to work it out and make it happen. So, but a lack of support is also a way that discourages guys from being delivering on the goods. So when guys are neglected, overlooked, or not called upon, that God-given ability goes unused. So it's important to encourage guys. I'm going to show you a clip now by Sinbad. He's a comedian. A clip on how important it is to encourage a man. Okay, watch this. All right. And what you get from encouraging a man.
Men are so confused. I got a son that's 20 years old. My daughter's 23. My daughter said she's trying to find a good man. I said, learn to be by yourself for a second. Don't be crying. Look, she waved. You got a man. Why you raise your hand? She think this. You with a man. She said, that's right. Look what you just did. That's right. Be by yourself as you hold his hand. What was that about? That's right. Be by yourself. I'm talking about you. Now, if he had done that, that's right. Oh, really? You've been in the parking lot. What? What I say? Well, slow down. You better love that man. He got you a front row seat. At least it's good for a show. See, young, how old are you? How old are you right now? How old are you? 34. You say, you're still young, man. You got, you know, see, my mom's generation, they know how to work. My mom worked my dad. My mom know how to get my dad put patio in, build a guest room. They know how to work a brother back in the day. My dad was like a slave. You need to put that roof up. See, look at him. My man can do everything. All she had to do was give him some Kool-Aid. Working. Working it. Work. Because my mom got style. Young ladies, y'all got to get style back. Y'all angry. Y'all just mad. Smile sometime. You might have a good man, you just don't know it. You just stay so angry. What, ladies, what are y'all mad about? Let me help. What are y'all mad about? What? Because we no good. Every man no good. Every man. See, that's one woman. Every man. You dated everybody? Or did you miss somebody?
All right. Well, the point I want you to hear was that, talking about how encourage the man, give him some Kool-Aid, put the patio in, put a roof on. Encouragement go a long way with guys. Yeah, go a long way with guys. Okay. Another reason guys don't deliver, disrespect. Failing to acknowledge the man and his role and his purpose, not honoring. Number four, bad habits. Sometimes guys just get into bad habits, undermine themselves and their abilities and their purpose. Bad habits. Misplaced or distorted identity. When guys, again, haven't had good role models, they're not clear about what a man is. What is a man? What does a man do? And so they're confused about that. Haven't had a father or a father like one to raise them and give them confidence in that way. Another word is emasculation or being degraded. This is direct attacks on the man as a man, his manhood, to deprive. It means to deprive of strength, of vigor, to dispirit, to weaken. And these are ways that we sometimes see in society where men are degraded. Frederick Douglass said this. He said, you degrade us and ask us why we are degraded. Right? Degrade us. Why y'all degraded? Then he said, you shut our mouths and ask us why we don't speak. You close our colleges, universities, and ask us why we don't know more. So obviously to degrade a person or a man and ask him what the problem is doesn't make any sense. You have to build that man up and encourage him. That's very important, isn't it? So God looked for a man among them. And the men among them are the men who have been encouraged, who have been strengthened, who've not been undermined, who have been trained by other men to recognize their responsibilities. So all of this I'm sharing with you is to encourage us that through Christ, through the Word of God, through examples of fathers and father-like ones, that boys become men. But learn how to build walls up, not tear walls down. But learn how to go stand in the gap, not create the gap. Not create the gap. And all of this is a part of how we become men that deliver.